Iguane. Orange, you're glad I didn't say banana. To get to the Hunts Point Market, you drive through this industrial part of the South Bronx, and at night, it's abandoned. For miles, you pass all these closed auto repair lots and plumbing supply stores. And then you go through a fence, pass some pretty intense security, drive a bit more, and suddenly, boom, you are in the Hunts Point Terminal Market. And it's like a busy city at rush hour. Bright and loud. Forklifts whipping around carrying pallets to trucks. Warehouses in long rows several city blocks long. 60 acres of produce. When people arrive here at 10 p.m. to work, what they say to each other is, good morning, because the middle of the night is when most of the business gets done. Two members of the team of economics reporters at Planet Money, Adam Davidson and Khana Jaffe Walt, usually report on financial markets and derivative markets and currency markets, so they were pleased to get a chance to actually visit a market where people buy and sell stuff that you can see and touch and smell. Here they are.
Eddie Oneway needs some pears.
His name is actually Edward Joseph. They call him Eddie Oneway because he wants prices to go one way. Down. He's a buyer, one of thousands of guys who show up here every night.
And they're buying for pretty much every grocery store, restaurant, corner market in the Northeast. If you have ever bought a golden delicious apple or ate a salad in a restaurant between Philly and Boston, chances are it came through here. And it is nothing like when you or I buy a salad at a restaurant. There are no posted prices. It is pure supply and demand.
And right now, demand, that's Eddie Oneway, the buyer, is looking for supply.
Let's see here. Where's my salesman? Oh, Mr. Timmy.
Timmy is a salesman at one of the wholesalers here, Dorigo Brothers.
He's close by. Let's see. I think he's in one of these refrigerators. This place here is a stadium. I think you need GPS to get around here. It would help.
Eventually, Eddie Oneway finds Timmy.
Here's Timmy.
And they enter into a ritual that will happen thousands of times throughout the night. They try to negotiate a price.
Which one?
Eddie thinks $15 for a box of pears
18,
seems fair.
That's it, brother.
Timmy doesn't.
No way.
We could do it.
I charged you 20 yesterday.
Yesterday's just gone.
That's it. 18.
Today's a
that's
new
it.
Day.
Let me take
it's a new horizon.
I'll be back. $20 yesterday, 18 today. That's it.
Stay close, Timmy.
Timmy offers Eddie a different kind of pear for $15, which to me looked exactly the same.
15 on these, 18 on them.
But Eddie Oneway knows things about pears that I will never know, and he ignores that ridiculous offer.
I'll give it to you for 18.
Why do you want to pay 15? Why is 18?
I'd like to pay 13, but I'm being generous.
That's it, brother. That's it, man. 18 is the right number. You know it's what they're worth.
The night's still young.
Eventually, Eddie Oneway walks away. The night is still young. At this hour, the sellers, guys like Timmy, feel like they are in control. They don't want to give anything away too cheap yet. There's lots more buyers still to come. But Eddie, the buyer, is hoping that if he comes back later in the night, Timmy won't have sold that much. He'll be desperate to get rid of his pears and will accept a lower price. But Eddie's really taking a risk here.
I know. I actually saw this risk play out with carrots, and it was really stressful. Jeff Steinberg, he's a buyer like Eddie, and he was looking for this one particular kind of carrots, fancy ones, loose Californias. And I followed him around, walking the aisles, one seller to another, and at first, everyone has the carrots, but Jeff is offended, or at least acts offended, by the high prices. And then an hour passes, and now nobody has loose Californias anymore. Jeff can't find the carrots he needs at any price, so he's thinking he may have to settle for something inferior. Loose Canadians.
Ugh. Jeff asks a seller named Carlos, how much for the loose Canadians? Carlos tells him $8 a box.
I'll be right back, though.
What's he doing now? He's
going to look at something that he's going to come back and tell me he doesn't like.
What does it mean that he's not going to like it?
Probably because they're not good enough for his customers. He's fairly picky. So you have to give the right people the right stuff.
And sure enough, Jeff comes out of the warehouse shaking his head.
No good.
No good. And where are you going to look for carrots next?
That's a good question, because I pretty much looked all over the place.
So it's 11:30 at night, and carrots are your problem at the moment?
At the moment. It's coming down to that hour where I'm probably going to have to pay what they wanted, what I don't want to pay.
Around midnight, it starts to get hectic. Buyers fill the streets, sellers wave their arms and yell into faces and cell phones. There's a lot of sweating. And as the minutes pass, all these little stories emerge. Midnight, the big story, tomatoes. They're on fire. Yesterday, they were selling for $15. Now they're $25. Everyone is buying.
Also breaking this hour, leafy greens from California. They're huge because, as everyone says, they have weather out there. There's not enough leafy greens coming to satisfy the demand.
It's around this time that we meet Angela Porricelli. Angela is the only woman we see the entire night. She says she knows of only one other woman who works here, alongside something like 7,000 men. Her booth is decorated with pictures. She has a big cross. She brings in fresh flowers every week.
She offered me candy. And hanging out with her, we learned that it's not all business here in the middle of the night. We keep seeing her next-door neighbor, Henry Polio, stopping by on all sorts of dubious missions. Right now, he's looking for a fork.
Hello.
Do you have a fork?
Yes, I do.
She's the loveliest woman in the market. Believe me, she's the most wonderful person in the world.
Thank you.
I know how Obama is. Our family, the grandfathers, new grandfathers, fathers, new fathers. Wonderful woman.
Thank you, Henry.
All right.
Bye.
I'll see you later. Thank you.
You're welcome, Henry.
When you buy a few hundred pounds of fruit or vegetables, there is so much you don't know. What's the quality? How long has it been on the truck? Is the price reasonable? And it's true, sellers and buyers who don't know each other that well, they lie to each other all the time. So, with all this uncertainty, there is tremendous economic value in long-term trusting relationships.
Hey, Adam, you're overthinking it. It's so much simpler than that. I followed Henry from Angela's back to his booth. You kind of have a crush on Angela?
No, I do, since I'm a kid, but she always said no.
Really?
Yeah. I want to take her upstairs, but she don't want it.
Have you ever asked her out?
No.
Does she know that you're interested?
Oh, she knows. I tell her. Right, Chris?
You work next door to her for all these years, and yeah. You've never been out with her?
No. And I ain't going to.
Why?
Because it's not the right thing to do. She's my sister.
She's not your sister.
Well, she's close to it.
You're not with anybody.
What? Who, me? Yeah, I got a wife.
Actually, I followed up. Henry doesn't have a wife. He did, but his marriage fell apart. And he blames the night shift for that. They never saw each other. He says all these guys here have wives they never see, kids they never see. So I go back to Angela's, and turns out she's also divorced. She raised two boys on her own, and she says, yeah, the night shift definitely gets in the way of life.
I remember my father, there's a lot of things he couldn't make. And on Sundays, if there was a wedding, he couldn't go. Sundays, work. My graduation, too, was on a Friday, and he couldn't come.
Really?
Yeah, but that's okay. I understood.
So, Henry, he said you'll never go out with him because you think of him as a brother.
Yes, I agree with him there. That I do. Plus, I'm engaged to someone right now. His name is Wayne. He's a Green Bay Packer fan.
Does he work in the market?
No.
Does he work days?
Days, yes.
How is that? It's hard to start a relationship.
Very hard. Very hard. It's just Friday and Saturday, really, that we see each other.
Can I check back in with you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm with Henry again. He's taking a quick break.
I ordered lunch. I got Guido here, and that makes the night.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and you just ordered lunch.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, Guido.
So everything is going smooth. Tomatoes are on fire.
Still?
Yeah. We're sold out. They didn't even come off the truck.
This is the point in the night where the market really changes. There are none of those people buying fancy stuff for high-end restaurants and specialty Manhattan stores. They're all gone. There's no more high-end guys like Jeff inspecting every carrot.
A whole new group of buyers enters the market now, and they're buying for not-so-fancy places, bodegas and grocery stores and working-class neighborhoods, pushcart vendors. They're not quite as concerned with getting the best possible quality. They want a good price.
It's in this second phase that the dynamic between sellers and buyers starts to shift. Remember early in the night when Eddie One Way had to go searching for someone to sell him pears? Over the next couple hours, it's the reverse. The sellers are looking for the buyers. And this, says a warehouse man named Thomas Kilgarren,
nicknamed Killer,
is the time to see who is a great salesman and who's not.
There's some guys down here that couldn't sell life insurance to the Kennedys. You know what I mean? But there's some that are pretty good.
If you could sell something that somebody doesn't want, that's a good salesman. I come down here looking for lettuce, you sell me lettuce. Any moron could do that. Sell me something that I don't want. You know, that's a salesman.
Selling something that no one wants, that is exactly what a guy named Mike Sack, Big Mike, is trying to do right now. We catch up with him toward the end of the night.
Earlier in the night, buyers were begging Big Mike to lower his prices, and he didn't. He refused, and it worked out pretty well for him. He sold a lot of Red Globe grapes and mangoes, and he made a killing in persimmons. But now that daylight's approaching, he's got piles and piles of oranges from Chile, and he's the one begging. He's pleading with one of his regular customers, a guy named Amerigo Pereira, to buy some of those oranges. Amerigo is pretty clear about his wishes.
No oranges.
You got to give in a medical today. You got to be nice.
What part of no oranges don't you understand?
Yeah, I'll give you one pallet.
No, stop playing.
Be nice today.
Stop it already, please.
Be nice in front of the camera.
There's a lady present.
Be
shut
nice
up
in
already
front of the camera.
For
can I give you one for 18?
No, Mike,
just
no.
Just be nice.
No.
Why?
I don't need
one skid only.
No. Stop it. Stop it. Stop.
Why do you want to be a clown all the time?
You know, this stuff is being recorded, you understand?
Yeah, but they're just going to see, you know. Can I give you one skid of
no,
label?
No,
be nice
no,
for the microphone, medical.
No.
Medical, one skid.
No.
How about a 56?
Why don't you stop playing around already? No.
How about a 56? Medical!
No.
At around 4 a.m., all the sellers in the market find themselves pretty much in the same situation as Big Mike. Tired and with too many oranges. Listen to Henry, so tired.
Oranges are moving slow, so you know, you try to give everybody some oranges. Even if they don't want it, they're taking them, you know what I mean? You put a couple. This is like, what time do you go to bed at night?
What time I go to bed?
Yeah.
Probably like 11.
So this is like you're 9 o'clock. You know? I hate the day.
Wait, you hate the day?
I hate it.
What do you hate about the day?
I don't know. The sun, everything. I get a headache. How are you, my friend? I just don't like the sun. I don't like it. I mean, I like it, but you know, like now, if the sun came up, I hate it. That morning, I ain't into it. I like the dark.
At 5 a.m., Henry heads home. He rakes some leaves in the front yard and then heads to sleep just as the sun comes out.
And later that day, a fancy grocery store in Greenwich, Connecticut might have some very nice but kind of pricey tomatoes. A high-end restaurant in Manhattan may be offering the chef's tomato bisque.
But further out, in poorer neighborhoods in South Boston, Brooklyn, Queens, tomatoes will be very hard to come by. Oranges, though, will be very cheap. And there will be lots of them.
Hannah Jaffe-Walt and Adam Davidson of Planet Money, which is a co-production of our radio show and NPR News. You can hear them 3 times a week speaking a language anybody can understand about the human drama that's part of all kinds of economic systems at their podcast at www.npr.org/money.